Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 986. This is your host, Danny. And also joining me this week, we have Paris here. What's going on, Paris?
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing, Danny?
Good, man. Everything good, you know? Here, still cold in New York. How's the weather over there?
It's raining. It's been raining all week, and my wife is really sick. So, like, I didn't go to my holiday party last night. So, all good.
Any gaming stuff? Have you been still playing some Destiny, or you've been taking some breaks? Or
I played a little bit of Halo Reach on PC just for the nostalgia and the feels of it. But I've been playing The Witcher 3. I'm not even playing any new games. I went back and just started playing The Witcher 3 again because that's just what I feel like doing. So, yeah, no Jedi Fallen Order, no Outer Worlds, no Call of Duty, no Destiny, nothing. I've just been playing The Witcher 3.
That's dope. Yeah, so the other day I posted a picture of now I already completed the Witcher 3 game and now I'm trying out the expansion. So I was debating because I could go back and forth with the different quests, but I was like, you know what? Let me try something I haven't done before. And then if I want, I could just go to the other expansion, whatever. And I started playing Blood and Wine. Man, that's a dope expansion so far, man. Lots of quests. So, you know, I've been taking my time with both, just the game overall. I believe I have now between 60 to 70 hours now, and I'm not even done yet, which is insane. So, playing this got me even more excited for Cyberpunk 2077 next year, man. So I know this game is coming out for Xbox Game Pass. For those that have never played this game, take advantage of that. Play it. Get to know about the character, and maybe you know a little bit about how CD Projekt Red works on the games. But once you're completed, get ready for Cyberpunk 2077 next year, man. So, yeah, highly recommended, man, if you're excited about the game.
You know you're a preacher to the choir when it comes to that, so glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah, it's good. Really good. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Super easy. Just search for Gamertag Radio, and you'll find us. And if you want, send us questions, and this is how you could do that.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so Paris, we definitely going to be talking about a couple things. Video Game Awards coming up later this week. You're going?
Yes, I am. Looking forward to it. It'll be my first Game Awards.
Ooh. So what are you so excited about it? Because this is your first time attending, because we always stream.
Well, I'm excited because, and it's just years past, just things have happened and I've not been able to attend because obviously, I live out here in Southern California. But it's just the fact that a lot of our industry friends will be in town and we're basically all going to be together and we all get to celebrate this thing that we love to do in gaming, and we get to see that, you know, just the developers and just the people in this industry get recognized for what they do. So it's a great award show. I mean, I'm very excited, like I said, to be in attendance and just see everybody and see who wins and everything with it, man. Really excited about it. I will say this without giving up too much. Got a couple things planned while I'm there. So hopefully I might have a little bit of content that comes out of that, but we'll see how it goes. Cause quite honestly, it's my first time going, so I don't know how everything's going to work, but we'll see. Been talking to a few folks.
Okay. That's dope. That's dope. I'm excited to hear, you know, more about your plans and just the awards overall. This is like a great way to like for the industry just to celebrate, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Can we? Do you want to do the predictions?
No, no, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about the Xbox Scarlett / Lockhart rumors before we get into the Game Awards stuff. So,
okay.
So, you know, there obviously, you know, Phil Spencer's been talking a lot recently, and he had actually tweeted out that he now has Scarlett at home as his primary console. And, you know, we're about a year out. So he's already, look, he was like, look, y'all gonna talk trash about me about VR? How about this? And boom, threw that out there to let everyone know he's still the head of Xbox. So that's great. So with that has been Lockhart. And for those that don't know what Lockhart is, you have Project Scarlett, which is what Xbox is saying going to be the most powerful console ever. 8K, you know, the SSD with the fast load times, all that stuff. And then there was the rumor that they were going to come out with a second console that was going to be lower powered and more reasonably priced. And then that rumor kind of went away. Well, here in the last week or so, that rumor has returned, and it's also returned with, and Danny, because I've done a little research on this, you were correct. There's also a rumor out there that PlayStation is also going to come out with a second console as well. So now we have the PlayStation 5, which is super high powered. They're also going to come out with a lower tier console as well. Basically, a PlayStation 5 and a PlayStation 5 Pro, and it sounds like all this stuff is at launch. We're not going to focus on the PlayStation stuff because there's little information on that. But when it comes to Lockhart, specs have now started to come out, alleged specs. These are rumors that it will share the same architecture as Scarlett, but it would have a lower clock CPU. It will have less RAM, and it will focus more on 1440p gaming more so than 4K gaming. And then obviously, like they're saying, it will come in at a lower price than whatever Scarlett's going to be. Now, I was quick to come out on Twitter, and just like you said in that text, that, you know, I love to talk so much on social media, but I won't pick up the phone, but we'll get to that another day. I was quick to say on Twitter that I don't agree with this. I do not think they should put out two consoles at launch. I think you put out Scarlett. We're just make believe here. This is all rumors. It's $500. You put it out. You tout it as the most powerful console ever. You show off all these amazing things that it can do. And then since no one, again, I'm going by Phil Spencer's words, since no one gets left behind, and we already know that games like Halo Infinite will be playable on Xbox One, you show off a $250, $199 version of the Xbox One X as your lower price option for people that want to play these next gen games. Because again, I go by the philosophy of Microsoft with Game Pass and all these services, they're becoming to more of a service model. They don't care where you play your games. They don't care what hardware you use to play your games, as long as you buy into their ecosystem, right? So if you're doing that, just come out with Scarlett. Okay, it's $500. But if you don't have $500, here, Xbox One X, go play it there. I get it. I understand why they're potentially doing this. Trust me, I understand, because I know they're introducing RTX, all that. They want to make sure that all the games can play that way. But I personally, and I know a lot of people have disagreed with me on this, I think it confuses the market personally. I think if you're doing a next gen console, again, I always use my wife as an example. If I'm Roxanne and I walk in Best Buy and I'm trying to buy my son the next console, and I see the Scarlett at $500, I see the Lockhart, let's just pretend, at $350, which one am I supposed to get? As a parent, I'm going to get the cheaper one. And then now my son's mad because he thought he was going to get Scarlett, and he's confused. He goes, this doesn't do 4K, it's doing 1440p, and it doesn't look as pretty as it did in all the videos. Why did you do that? So it creates a little bit of confusion. That's just what I think. I'm not saying I'm right. I just think keep it simple. One price, one SKU at launch, and go from there. Now, down the road, as we've seen in this generation, then you introduce different iterations as the console generation goes on. Because, I mean, as we sit here right now in year 7, there's the original Xbox, there's the Xbox One S, there's the Xbox One X, and there's the Xbox, all digital. So there are, Danny, 4 SKUs, congratulations. Which, again, I didn't say with Lockhart, they were saying that would be a digital-only version as well. It will not have a physical drive. So I get what they're doing. I just don't 100% agree with it. What do you think?
I think more companies are actually doing that now. At first, we heard about these rumors. I think this is the conversation we're having, you know, behind the scenes, Paris and I. But But I told him that this rumor was going on for a while. I think like sometime last year. Then the reason why the rumor stopped was because I think it was Phil Spencer during an interview saying, no, we're only going to focus on one console for launch. So it stopped.
Right.
Right. And then rumors start coming out about PlayStation releasing two SKUs, one the Pro and one like just a regular version of PlayStation 5. And then all this is start coming out again. Like, okay, now we're going to add the second console that we were, that it was going around for a while now, rumor wise. And now it looks like it's going to look official. Now, here's the thing too, Paris. Next year, Nintendo is going to have actually three SKUs. If you actually think about it, it's the regular Nintendo Switch. Then it's the Nintendo Switch Mini, right? The Lite, right? And then the rumor, the Pro. So every company is actually doing that, Paris. The only difference is, I think with the Nintendo Switch and Xbox One, you could play, doesn't matter what type of version you have, PlayStation 5 is the only one that you need a PlayStation 5 in order to play PlayStation 5 games.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with what you're saying. Of course, other companies are doing something similar, and people were throwing the iPhone in there as well. I mean, bro, we've been doing iPhone since 2007. I get that there's multiple versions of it, but Apple also gives you, they differentiate them with visible physical features like different camera lenses, different sizes, things like that, right? So I understand that, but I don't think phones relates to consoles. So sticking to what you're saying, well, like Nintendo. Yes, Nintendo is doing this, but Nintendo didn't do this at launch. They did not launch the Nintendo Switch and go, you got the regular Switch, the Switch Lite, and the Pro. They didn't do that at launch. That's what I'm contending. I'm not saying to, at some point in the generation, introduce different SKUs of your hardware. I'm just saying, again, these are all rumors. We don't know if any of this is true. It's all just people talking. But let's just pretend this is real. If at launch, you're giving me the Scarlett and then you're giving me the Lockhart, or you're giving me a PlayStation 5 and a PlayStation 5 Pro, I think it throws some confusion into it. Because like I said, most consumers are going to default to the cheaper option, right? Us hardcore people, you know, we know specs and all that. So yeah, we'll go get the more expensive one. So I personally think, and this is just me, I just think, why do that? Why not just come out with one? Just have one. Say, here's the most powerful console ever that you can play games on. Here's how beautiful it is. It's at $500. If you can't afford $500, we're still allowing you to use the old hardware to play the games. And then when you're ready, or there's a price drop on that high-end hardware, then you can go get that and experience that. Why are we introducing, again, rumors, all rumors. I'm not saying this is true. This is all rumors. Why are we introducing something that plays at 1440p, where that's the quote-unquote sweet spot to play it at, when nobody has a 1440p television? Right? Because we're talking consumers at this point. We're not talking PC gamers. So are you bringing in a console that plays games great at 1440p and you're upscaling it to 4K? What the hell is the difference than what we're doing right now with the Xbox One X or the PlayStation 4 Pro? You're not extending the generation past what the last gen hardware is, in my opinion. That's all I'm saying. So I think it is going to be absolutely critical to both Microsoft and PlayStation, if this stuff is true, the messaging, bro, I'm telling you, at E3 next year, the messaging better be on point.
That's to be, the thing that to I'm be, a little bit worried
right,
about.
To be crystal clear to explain how this stuff works. And again, and if the messaging works, then do whatever you want. But if you do 2013 again, where it, because again, I know we're doing this later episode, but we've been listening to old episodes of you know, through the decade. So we went back and listened to a podcast that we did at E3 2013. And you could hear it in our voices. We didn't know what the hell Microsoft were doing. We're like, I don't get it. You know?
We sounded confused.
So that's all I'm saying. If you're going to do this, have the messaging crystal clear. That's all.
I think Sony's going to be fine, though, Paris, because the way, I think throughout the years, the way how they promoted their console, everybody knows, okay, PlayStation 2, 3, 4, 5, like it's easier for them. What I'm worried about is, what is the name of the console for Xbox? How they're going to market that? You know, because the thing that Nintendo, the biggest mistake they did during the last gen with the Wii U, was the name of the console, because mm-hmm. a lot of people thought it was still Wii games.
Mm-hmm.
So my cousin had a Wii. She bought a Wii U game. It was Mario Kart, thinking that was going to work for the Wii. That is confusing as hell. I think that's the reason why Nintendo failed big time with the Wii U, because the messaging was just all over the place, right? So that's the thing that I'm worried about, like how Xbox is going to promote this. Is this going to be called Xbox One? Is it going to be Xbox Two? Like what is going to be the name? Because that is important. It's, like you said, is the messaging. That's super important.
Yeah. I know we're focusing more on Xbox and PlayStation when we're talking about this. I think it's just because Xbox has made it clear that your Xbox One hardware will be able to play the next gen games. So basically, it's going to be down res, lower settings, things like that. That I get. So why not message that? And again, people, I've had some fantastic conversations on Twitter, so I see both sides of this. But to me, it seems like you have this Xbox One X. I'm staring at mine right now. It is an amazing piece of tech. And you're really going to sunset this thing after 3 years and you're going to move on from it. But someone did point out to me that part of that could be to continue to manufacture this old hardware. The prices, ironically enough, could actually go up to continue to make it, even though it'll still be cheaper. But they're actually, by going to the new architecture, as the prices fall, it actually over time will be cheaper to just, you know what, screw it. We're done with Xbox One hardware. We're moving on to this next gen hardware. And as the prices, you know, and technology goes, that'll be cheaper to maintain throughout the generation. So when you look at it that way, I can understand that they're going to continue use the same sock. Basically, it's just going to be underclocked from what Scarlett's going to be. They potentially could introduce RTX into it. So the way I look at it in a PC way, to, because I know all this stuff can get confusing to people that are listening to this right now. So let's just say Scarlett can do native 4K, 60 frames per second, RTX locked, right? For everything. It has a solid state drive in it, fast load times, everything. You bring in Lockhart, it's the same sock, so it's the same CPU, GPU. They're just underclocked from what Scarlett can do. So it basically is doing the same thing, but at 1440p, 60 frames locked, you up res to 4K or you down res, super sample down to 1080p, depending on your display. You take out the hard drive or the disk drive. You still got the same SSD in it, but you can sell it for $100, $150 cheaper. Maybe that's what they're looking at here, where you're going to get the same experience. Maybe it's not at ultra settings. Maybe it's at medium settings. It's at 1440p up res, but you're still playing the same games. You got the same fast load time. There's no physical disk drive in it. So we're able to sell it at a cheaper price. Again, I'm trying to wrap my brain around what the logic is to do this. To me, that seems the play, to where you can have a Scarlett that's at 500, but maybe you got Lockhart at 299.
Yeah.
Or 350. You know what I'm saying? Maybe 350 seems like the sweet spot.
I think, imagine this, Paris. Imagine we're at the Microsoft press conference, right? Or maybe the revealed. Well, most likely it's going to be during the press conference. That's when they're going to announce like the price, the actual price of the console. So they could start like saying you could play all our games, current, past, and also future titles on all of our consoles, plus Project X Cloud. So now they're going to start revealing the new prices of the console. So probably it will start with Xbox One S, don't you think? Then Xbox One X. And then the other two new consoles, but just have it show the different price, right? Because maybe the most powerful one is going to be expensive. And you know they don't want that same reaction from 2013. So I think by saying that, like, look, you could still play all these games starting at this price, I think it will be a great message to promote it, like marketing wise.
And I agree with you. So follow me on this. So here's the thought. We're just emerald today. So here's the thought.
Yeah.
Xbox One S, $149. And
I can see that.
And it's the all digital one. They just all digital, $150. Xbox One X, $250. Lockhart, 350. Scarlett 500 or even more. Because now at that point, we're not saying, because we're telling you, you ain't got to buy Scarlett. So if they needed to make it 550 or 600, they could. But it's probably 500 because that just seems the logical price, right? So 500. So at that point, you're giving people choice. Not to mention, you want to go build a PC? Go play your games over there too. You want to stream it through Project X Cloud on your phone? You can do that too. Choice. Danny, you win. Choice. It's all choice. But, wow, that video I put up with my kids, I just did it. Oh my God. But I can see that and I can understand it and I can rock with it. Like I said before, the messaging just has to be crystal clear. So the average consumer, so my wife can understand that too. You know what you're buying at that price. They have to be able crystal clear to explain it. That's my thing.
Yeah. Oof. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting next year.
Yeah, it is. It is. And then it sounds like Sony's going to do something on a slightly simpler form, because remember, they've already come out and said, hey, PlayStation 5 games, you ain't playing them on PlayStation 4. You better buy PlayStation 5. They've already made that clear. Again, rumors. Yeah. This is a rumor. Yeah. So they're not doing
it. People are going to buy it.
Yeah, they're going to buy it. But they're going to say, all right, here's your PlayStation 5. Again, let's just say it at $399. And then PlayStation 5 Pro at $600. Something like that. Yep. You know? Yep. There you go.
Okay. Wow. So this is, like Paris said years ago, Xbox Gamer Radio, right?
Yeah.
That's what it was?
Yeah.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're also going to have fan mail later on. So, Paris, I think this is a great time for us to do predictions of the video game awards. Now, my question to you before we start talking about the different categories, we're not going to do all the categories, just some. But do you think, is there going to be any big announcements or any surprise announcements? Because usually, most of the time, it's not really that big. But do you see them announcing some big games at the awards or what?
Yes, I do. I do think we'll see some big announcements coming from everybody. Honestly, PlayStation, Microsoft, third party, Nintendo, etc. I do think we'll see some 2020 games and beyond get announced here next week.
Now, the part where Phil Spencer said about Control going to Xbox Game Pass, I think that originally was going to be announced at the Game Awards.
And that's kind of what I'm saying. I think he, like I said, Phil's been talking a lot lately. Hey, we actually.
He's a little bit too excited.
Yeah. I think who's doing his PR right now needs to be like, Phil, we know you're excited, but we have a roadmap for these things. Stop talking.
Yo, I see him being super excited for like 2020, I think, man. It's like, yo, Phil, relax, chill, man. Relax.
But I'll say again before we jump into the Game Awards thing, again, just sticking on Microsoft, like I fully admit, I'm very excited to see what Xbox is going to do next year. Because like I said, I truly think this is the most important year for them in their history. Because not only are you launching this new hardware, you flipped over to the Game Pass model, you've acquired all these studios, you know, we got a new Halo that's coming this year. They're doing the cloud streaming. It's just, there's so much that's going to happen in the next calendar year for Xbox. I'm just very excited to see where it all lands and how it all fits in. You know, like I said, being at E3 this year when they announced the majority of this stuff, and then obviously the launch of all this stuff in the fall of next year, it's just, as a gamer, you know, forget your brand loyalty and all that nonsense, but as a gamer, it's just exciting to see us going to the next generation of gaming and to just see how it all going to play out, you know?
No, totally agree, man. Totally agree. So, let's make believe Paris is sitting down at the awards. He's there with, you know, Khalid from Spawn on Me. He's there with a couple people. Hey, Paris, you might be sitting down next to a couple industry folks, right? Like Aaron Greenberg, maybe, right? Who knows?
Yeah,
who knows? You're there sitting down, and they there's an announcement, not an announcement, but like the next category pops up: best community support. Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 14.
Mm-hmm.
Fortnite or Rainbow Six? Rainbow Six Siege. Which game do you think will win?
Well, I'm very biased, so I'm pretty sure you already know what I'm going to say. I'm going to say Destiny 2.
I think it's going to be Fortnite.
Why?
Or between Fortnite, maybe between Fortnite or Rainbow Six, just the updates and
so you refuse to give me any shine on this. You just go completely against the grain and don't say why. Why?
No, I'm just mentioning it right now.
I'm kidding. I don't care.
I'm just saying. But I think, to me personally, I think the most impressive updates that I've been seeing and community support that I've seen throughout the years has been Rainbow Six. No. But what are the chances of that at the game winning, you know, Fortnite or even Destiny or even Apex? It's going to be kind of hard. I don't know. That's just my opinion. But
let's define community support. Are you saying the way that their actual community team interacts with their community, or are we just talking about just laying out roadmap features and, you know, all that stuff for a game? Which one is that? Or is it a combination of both?
I think a combination of both. Well, I tell you this, I think Destiny, especially Bungie, they stepped up their game, because there was a time, and you know what, I get it. It was because maybe the whole Activision drama that was going on, that they hold a lot of things back, but now it seems like their team has been very, very open on just updates and just communicating with the community and everything overall, you know. So
yeah, I would say, I mean, being serious for a second, it's actually very tough, mm-hmm. because I would say that when you look at Rainbow Six and you just look at what that community has been doing the past few years, like, it is, their roadmap is laid out. You know what's coming, when it's coming. They obviously have all the esport tournaments around the globe that are happening. That community is absolutely thriving. And then, I mean, you know, Fortnite is just the GOAT when it comes to all this stuff, with just everything that Epic continues to iterate on that game and implement, and obviously just the super popularity of it. Now, I would say of the four, Apex is the weakest, and their community, you know, they kind of clapped back there. Remember during the summer, I think that was, where, you know, their community team said some things back to the community when they weren't happy. And then, you know, obviously with Destiny, it's had its ups and downs, but, you know, their actual community team has always been on point, definitely, you know, communicating, you know, taking in feedback and, you know, promoting the game for, you know, good, bad, and different, or whatever, having community summits, bringing people in, like they literally just had one this week for PvP stuff. So actually, I do think it's kind of tough to say. I guess my bias would say Destiny, because that's just me. But, bro, I think if you just look overall, it is probably Rainbow Six. Probably.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. Hope so. All right. Again, another one, another category. Best action game. Apex Legends, Astral Chain, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. This is from Infinity Ward. Devil May Cry 5, Gears 5, Metro Exodus. Huh.
I'll say Call of Duty.
I would say Call of Duty, because it's obvious. It's a pretty good game. But I actually think there might be a chance that Gears 5 or Apex might win.
I don't think Apex has a chance at all, personally.
Well, the reason why I said Apex is because it was like the biggest surprise. They just came out of nowhere this year. Because remember, this game was not even announced. It was like rumors during Super Bowl weekend, and then it was during Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah, almost a year ago. But let me ask this question on that real quick.
Yeah.
What does surprise have to do with best action game? Just because you were surprised and you burst onto the scene and you had a great start, this is just continued over the year. Where is Apex right now when it's compared to everything else that you were just saying? I guess that's kind of my point.
Yeah, okay. From that point of view, I get it, but there's still people that play that game a lot, you know. So, well, I mean, I don't know.
But again, I don't think that counts. Okay, people play the game. A lot of people play Call of Duty. A lot of people play, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you got to look at it that way. Look, I'm not trying to trash Apex, whatever, but Apex had a great start. It's had a pretty rough middle of this year, and I think it's kind of rebounding here now, you know, towards the end of the year for sure. But again, this is all opinion. Who cares? My personal opinion, I would just say, consistency wise, I would just say Call of Duty. But that's just me.
Yeah, we're We're not Jeff Keighley. So we just as fans just guessing. Okay. I don't know why Metro Exodus is there, man. I'm sorry, because I just
I'm not a big
fan of that game.
I enjoy the game, don't get me wrong, but compared to the other two as a quote unquote action game, I wouldn't put it there.
Okay. You want to read another category, Paris? That you think
I like how you just put me on the spot. Like, you don't even know if I have the list up. You don't know anything.
Oh,
you just throw it out there. So how about this? Best VR AR game, since I'm the VR dude now all of a sudden. here we go. It's Asgard's Wrath, Blood and Truth, Beat Saber, No Man's Sky, Trover Saves the Universe. So I'm going to be crystal clear. I just said this just to be funny. I've not played any of these games, so I really can't have an opinion on none of it. So I'm just going to randomly throw out No Man's Sky because that's the only one I know.
I think it's going to be Beat Saber. It's because that game has been getting a lot of mainstream press, I think, personally. But I never played the game. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. Let's just go to another one that we can actually comment on. So best ongoing game. So Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, Rainbow Six Siege.
I think Fortnite is going to take it again, man. Like, this is the problem that I have with this category is because, is it going to be like this every single year with Fortnite?
Right.
Because the past few years, Epic been winning the whole time, so it's like, I think it's good to change it up, man. Remove some categories that just doesn't make sense, man. I don't know.
I almost look at this one to give a really bad analogy here. You could say, I don't know, Michael Jordan could have won the MVP every year, right? Because he was always the best player. But there were years that Karl Malone won. There was years that Charles Barkley won, etc. Because you can't just keep giving it to the same dude every year. So you have to mix it up. I agree with you. It probably should be Fortnite. It probably should be. But in the biggest upset of upsets, I'm going to say Final Fantasy 14 winds up getting it.
Oh, my God. When was the last time you actually played Final Fantasy?
No, I haven't. But Danny, go do like the Google thing. That community right now, that game is thriving. Absolutely.
That's
thriving
crazy
right now. Yeah, yeah. You talk about just a rough launch to just completely reinventing yourself. Final Fantasy 14 is the poster child for it. So much so that if I actually had time, I would probably dip my toe in there and check it out. But everything I hear about Final Fantasy 14 is fantastic.
That's dope. That's dope. All right. So here's another one. Best multiplayer game. Apex Legends, Borderlands 3, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Tetris 99, Tom Clancy, The Division 2. I'm waiting for this one. All right. I think Call of Duty is going to win this.
Yeah.
100%. I think that. But inside of me, man, as a fan, I truly love Tetris 99.
Yeah.
I play that still to this day.
Yeah.
And it's free. It's a free game too, man. So.
It's
different. And it's different compared to all the other games.
Yeah, it was like when you read the list in my head, I was like, Tetris 99 probably should win, but it won't. It'll be Call of Duty. It just will.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just see that being the easy one out. Pete.
Any surprises that you think might win instead of those two? Third choice?
They might give it to Apex, maybe, I guess, right?
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah, I don't know. Will you do like a couple more? Because we're obviously not going to go through all these.
Yeah. I think pick the top ones.
Let's do best RPG. I think this is a good one. Best RPG. Disco Asylum, Final Fantasy 14, Kingdom Hearts 3, Monster Hunter World, Iceborne, The Outer Worlds.
Outer Worlds, man. Hands down.
So... I don't think the Outer Worlds wins here. I don't.
Really?
I don't. I think, and call me crazy, and I'm telling you, people are going to be rolling their eyes, and I'm going to be rolling my eyes. I know it on Thursday.
I'm going to be one of them.
Call me crazy.
Yeah.
Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to wind up winning it.
No, it's not going to happen.
I have this weird feeling, dude. I really do.
I think that's a decent game, right? Because hearing this from like people that actually play the game, they say it was pretty decent. It's not better than the previous ones, right? But I personally think that Outer Worlds been getting a bigger buzz, in my opinion, than Kingdom Hearts 3, in my opinion. So I still think that Outer Worlds.
No, we're in agreement. The Outer Worlds should win. It absolutely should win. We'll get into this later. I have a whole thing I want to say later, but I agree with you.
Okay.
It should win, but I don't think it will. So okay. We'll do obviously game of the year last. Is there like one more you want to do here?
We should do
best indie. Let's do best indie game.
Ooh,
let's do that. Okay. I got it. I'm looking at it. So best independent game. Mm-hmm. Baba Is You, Disco Asylum, Katana uh-huh. Zero, Outer Wilds, Untitled Goose Game. So I think the Outer Wilds will win this, and I also think it should. I've not personally played it. I believe it's on Game Pass, so I really have no excuse.
Yeah, I played it. I played it.
Everyone says it's fantastic. It has so much buzz behind it.
You know what? I'm going to keep it real, man. I found it boring.
Wow. Okay. And again, I have no context. I haven't played it. So that's interesting.
Yeah. So, look, I played it. You know, I get everybody likes it. It just not for me, man.
Right.
I tried my best. But I think personally, just because it was like this went viral, people were talking about it, I think the Untitled Goose Game is going to win, man. I mean, just because of the buzz and people actually talking about it. But I think, yeah. Paris, the Outer Wilds, I can see that happening, but Untitled Goose Game, man, that's my prediction, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Okay.
So let's just wrap it up with Game of the Year. So Game of the Year, this, I have some thoughts. So Game of the Year, Control, mm-hmm. Death Stranding, Super Smash Brothers Ultimate, Resident Evil 2, Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice, The Outer Worlds.
You know what? Jeff Keighley should hire you, man, to do the voice for the.
Yeah, he should. He should. I would love to do it. Here's my opinion. Here's who should win, and here's who I think will win. The Outer Worlds should win. In my opinion. Again, my opinion. I've played Control. I've played Smash Brothers. And I've played The Outer Worlds. The other ones I have not played. So I could be wrong in that. I have not played the other ones. But just of what I've played, I think The Outer Worlds should win. Who will win, and it is going to be an absolute shitstorm, is Death Stranding.
I hope not.
I'm telling you, I have such a bad feeling about it. Such a bad feeling. And
honestly, if that happens, I'm going to be pretty disappointed. Like, yeah, I want The Outer Worlds to win, but look, these are the three games that I don't mind if it wins. The Outer Worlds, Control, Super Smash Brothers. Because Smash Brothers has been, people been talking about that game since the game got released last December. There's always updates. People get excited every time there's a new character coming in, like a DLC character, right? And now they're adding more for the game. For next year, so I can see that. But Death Stranding, I don't know, man. It just, I think personally, it would just look bad for Jeff Keighley, even if it's just like other people that actually nominated this game from like the journalist side. But people are going to look automatically to Jeff.
Oh, I know. And it's not fair to him because he's made it crystal clear. He has zero influence in the nomination process. He has zero influence in the actual ultimate winner. He's completely out of the loop on that. But unfair, his relationship with Kojima will, and the fact that he's in the game in a cameo role, they're going to say he did it. And that's not fair to him. So for that alone, whether Death Stranding deserves Game of the Year or not, I actually hope it does not win for that very case, because it will taint what the Game Awards is all about.
Yep.
And like I said, I personally think, and again, I've not played Resident Evil 2, the remake, or whatever, so I can't comment on it. But from what I played, The Outer Worlds is the game of the year. So spoiler alert for our game of the year episode. That's who it is. Because it is. Yeah. It's a fantastic RPG that takes, and I said it from the preview event we went to all the way until now. This was the Fallout New Vegas successor that I always wanted. It absolutely is. It is a fantastic RPG. I'm so happy for Obsidian, and I'm excited to see what they're going to be able to do over at Xbox now that they're going to get the war chest to make the game that they always wanted to make, you know? So,
yeah,
very excited.
Now, wondering, before we go to the voicemails, Pat, was there any game RPG-wise that won Game of the Year at the Game Awards? I don't remember.
I can't remember.
Has it been?
Yeah, I can't remember. I can't think of anything.
Oh,
No. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. The Witcher 3 one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you're right. There you go. The GOAT. Okay. The GOAT.
The GOAT. So this could be the second one.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. All right, so can we do fan mail?
I have one. I have one last thing to say. I do think one big surprise we're going to get, and I have no knowledge of this, by the way, but one surprise I think we will get at the Game Awards.
What?
New Cyberpunk trailer.
You think so?
Yep.
I don't think so.
Wow. Just poo-poo on me. All right, move on. Fan mail. Let's go. I love you, the most positive, negative person I know. I say something that would be cool, and you're like, no.
No, Paris, with that.
I poo-poo on you.
You know what it is? I think that if there was something with Cyberpunk, I think they would have talked
about it. It's a surprise, Danny.
I don't think so, man.
Jesus. I give up.
But look, if they do, hey, Paris, I will go on Twitter and be like, yo, Paris, you're right. And I'll post a trailer. That's it. I'll say that.
I am sick and tired, and we even got voicemails on this. Everyone pulls out their sword and shield to defend Danny. Let him dream and stop saying all this stuff. Everyone's always that I'm the bully. Danny's the real bully. I just want to say it. Danny's the bully. Someone defend me. Huh?
Look at that. Look, I talked about Foursquare. Everybody was dying, laughing, making fun of me. But there was a couple people like, Danny, I see your vision, man. I truly see your vision. At E3, everybody was like, yo, Godfrey, Danny, I'll give you props, man. And yeah, Foursquare still alive, baby. 2020, let's go.
You know what? I really hope it happens. I really hope there's a Cyberpunk trailer. Okay, you know what? Pause on that again real quick before we move into the thing.
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense. It is the end of the year thing. CD Projekt Red has already said that in December is when they're going to start up their big marketing campaign, right? What better way? The biggest game of 2020, at least in early 2020, is going to be Cyberpunk, right? So you end the year with just a new trailer. It's just a trailer. I'm not saying it's gameplay with some dudes out there with a controller. Miles isn't going to be there. It's just a trailer. That's it. That's all I'm saying. Okay, let me have
you know.
This,
I
please.
Think if they do, it probably will. They'll have like the maybe they. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we'll see.
Okay. Oh, now you change your mind.
Okay.
Yeah. Look,
I can. We'll see. No, because based on that, I totally forgot about the marketing side from December. But whatever. You know what? I'll say no. Just to keep those bit going.
Bully. Okay. All right. Let's go into the voicemail stuff.
Okay. All right. So it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Oh, you have a couple of voicemails here. Paris, play the first one.
This one I've not heard, so here we go.
Okay.
What's up, Gamertag Radio? It's your boy MM2K back again, bothering you guys again because we got another big story here. Stadia launch. It's the talk of the town, right? Here's the thing, though. I'm a founder. I'm enjoying the experience on browser and Chromecast, but I get everyone's apprehension about why they launched this thing in 2019. However, if you look at this thing from 5,000 feet, I think it starts to make sense. The timing that is, but maybe the implementation and the rollout still is flawed, right? So let's think about it. The biggest Stadia draw, if you think about it, is the fact that you can get high performance gaming on the go that performs better than most of the current gen consoles out there. Those consoles being PS4 Slims, Xbox One S's, and Switches, right? Now come November 2020, they lose that edge. So they got to update their server blades using as much player data as possible. And they can only do that if there's enough people out there with Chromecast and Stadia controllers, along with browser players out there. So this more or less was early access to help them with that task. They just didn't phrase it that way. So, and again, I'm not saying that nothing was wrong with the launch, plenty wrong with the launch, to criticize, rightfully so. But I think the timing wasn't the issue, it was the rollout, maybe some pricing things, you know, so forth. But I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that. Let me know what you think. I appreciate what y'all do on the show. Keep up the good work. Have a wonderful gaming day.
Thank you for that voicemail. Google already hates me. I'm not going to comment too much other than to say, yeah, I mean, hey, you said it. Everyone that heard it said it. I've ranted enough about this. I'm just going to leave it at what it is. We'll see what Stadia is in 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's see what's the next game. So they're going to give out for free next month in January.
I will say this. I've already returned my borrowed Stadia Founders Edition because I have zero need for it. And I've not played Stadia in over a week at this point, and I see no reason to pick it back up. I'll just leave it at that. So, yeah. All right, let's go to the next one.
Let's go.
Hey guys, Kyle from Kansas City. Longtime listener, first time caller. Wanted to give you guys a huge shout out for all the hard work that you do. It doesn't go unnoticed with the professionalism and content you all provide. I'm a huge Nintendo Switch fan and have been using it more recently to help me through my depression. Sometimes it's just good to immerse yourself into a game to help you through a tough time, and it's great that I get to take it wherever I go. More importantly, it's great to hear you all talk about something that we all have in common, which is gaming. The podcast helps me feel connected to our community for sure. There's been much discussion lately on the podcast about the future of the upcoming consoles for 2020. My question to you guys is, if Nintendo does confirm a new Nintendo Switch for 2020, what would be the must-have specs for the console itself, and what type of games would you like to see come to the platform? Once again, thank you guys for creating this outlet for all of us. Keep up the good work. Oh, and Pete, get back on the freaking podcast, man. Miss ya.
Thank you for the voicemail, and yeah, Pete, hurry up. Come back.
Exactly.
But to answer his question, I mean, because he was talking about actual specs of potential Switch Pro, I did NVIDIA update their Tegra? I can't remember if they updated the Tegra chip or not, because I know the Switch is Tegra based. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm an idiot. But I don't know what the potential specs of it could be, because obviously we'll just have to see as we get into 2020. I'm sure it'll be something new, whether it is NVIDIA or it comes from AMD. I would say when it's docked, it needs to hit 4K. Not 60 frames, nothing crazy like that, but it'd be nice to see it hit 4K docked. I would say undocked, personally, I'm still fine with a 720p screen, 1080p screen, something like that. I would care more about how power efficient it's going to be with the battery. That would be my main thing. Maybe an update to the Joy-Cons potentially. And then he was talking about games. Honestly, for me, just keep doing what you're doing. I mean, Nintendo's just been absolutely killing it. So I really have no complaints about games. I mean, we know a Metroid's eventually going to come. We're going to get a Donkey Kong, maybe a new entry with Mario, updated Zelda, just things like that. So in other words, Nintendo just keep being Nintendo, really, when it comes to the games. I have no issue with that at all. What about you?
I don't care much about the 4K side or anything. What I'm more about is just battery, man. Because I've been playing a lot of Witcher on the go and also on TV. But when I take it out from the dock, man, that game drains battery like crazy. So I just wish that the battery life is a lot longer. I think the light has a better battery life than the current Switch. By like maybe 30 minutes or so, something like that. So, yeah, just that. That's the thing that I'm worried about the most, man. Is and also, my God, please, the controllers for the Joy-Cons.
Yeah.
I hope it's a lot better this time, man.
Yeah, they got to update that for sure. And just because I didn't think I was crazy, the Switch is using NVIDIA Tegra X1 SoC. So, okay. I don't think they've updated that yet. I know NVIDIA is going to. So, mm-hmm. Maybe that winds up going in Switch Pro or something like that.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I know, first of all, thanks for everybody who's been calling, but I know he mentioned about playing games to help him with his depression. One game that really helped me so much last year when I was going through some tough time around this time was I started playing Grease on the Switch. Beautiful, fantastic indie game, man. And it's probably, you'll find it for cheap. So if you ever get the chance, go to the eShop and look for Grease, G-R-I-S. It's an awesome, awesome game. So just want to say that very quick. Anything else? That's it?
That's it for the voicemails. We had another one, but we'll play that another time. It's more of a statement than an actual question. So,
okay, cool. All right. So first of all, everybody, thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. We only have a couple episodes left, and then we're going to take a long, nice vacation during the holiday season, and then we'll be back in January. So 2020 is going to be a great year. Can't wait. It's going to be a lots of going back and forth debates because of the new consoles coming out, wondering what type of games are going to release. It's going to be good, man. Can't wait. So this was going to happen for GTR for the end of this year. So I have one more interview coming up this Thursday. Then the last two episodes after that, it's going to be the best episodes of the decade, which I've been collecting a lot of audio for throughout the past few years. I've been collecting it. And I'm going to talk to Paris about that. Pete, I know you're here. If you want to join us, that's fine. If not, don't worry about it. And then the episode after that is going to be Game of the Year episodes. And that's it. And we're done after that. So make sure to send in your favorite game of this year. fanmail@gamertagradio.com. You can send voicemails, emails, whatever. Just send it. We're definitely going to put it on the show. All right. And that's about it. Anything else, Paris, from you?
No, I think that's it. Like I said, I'll be at the Game Awards this Thursday, so we're really excited about that. And obviously, I'll talk about my experience attending on the next episode, or the episode after the Game Awards, I should say.
Okay, cool, man. Yeah, I'm very excited. Can't wait. Can't wait to get updates from Paris from the awards, man. Are you going to dress up? You going to dress up nice, or are you just going to go tank top?
None of your business what I'm going to do. Don't you worry about it. Stop asking me personal questions on the podcast.
Yo, Paris, man. Remember, if you go with a tank top, we're going to get listeners, man, calling like, yo, that's not professional.
Okay. Yeah, I'll leave that alone. I'll leave that alone. But no, I'm going to, not like super dressed up, not like suit and tie, but I'll go decent. I'll go business casual, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody wrote cyberpunk wise.
No. That's after show. We'll talk about it in an after show. So yeah, let's go and wrap it up.
All right. So we're out. Thank you for listening. Until next time. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.